Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that on this Mother's Day, we may hear the message which you are bringing to our homes. That message which tells us that Jesus Christ is still the Good Shepherd, and that he is the one who will protect us and forgive us and bind us together. God, if we could only hear that voice, then this service will have been a success. And then the message of the church will become a living reality in the lives of many people. We know that we can but proclaim it. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and let it live therein. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, some time ago, somewhere, and I don't recall where, I heard this statement: the world's greatest university is still the home. When I heard that statement, it so intrigued me that it has not left my thought process. The world's greatest university is still the home. I believe that's true, and therefore I would like to use that thought for my theme in this Mother's Day sermon. The vast majority of people in the world will never even walk on the campuses of our most prestigious university. We will not even see some of the great buildings at Harvard or Yale, at Oxford or Cambridge, at Heidelberg or at Leipzig. But every single one of us here will spend many years in our home. It is in these homes that we are influenced. Our personalities are molded, and our values are learned. It is in these homes that all the members of the family are on the faculty. Parents teach children, but we also have to remember that children teach the parents. And there are courses in that home, that leading university of the world, that you could never enroll in at Harvard University. Here are some of them. There is a never-ending course that will continue as long as we live. It is taught 365 days out of the year. Every single day of your life, and you never quite get through with it. It's a course that you could entitle How to Live with Others and Enjoy Them. Have you graduated from that course? That you know exactly how to live with people, even some who are terribly obnoxious, and really enjoy them? That is a course that is offered only in the world's greatest university, the home. Then there is another course. You may get one like that outside of the home, but there's a practical aspect in the home to this next course that you could only have, again, in the world's great university. You would have to take this course at least 25 years, and then you need to have a refresher at least 3 times a week. And that course would have to be titled How to Handle Money. Can you ever get a course like that taught as effectively in the university as is taught in the home? I don't think so. Then there's another course. The basic curriculum for this course is up for grabs. The content of the course is being challenged. It's on morals. It's a course that used to be entitled, What is Right and What is Wrong in Life? And father, who was the head of the family, undergirded by mother, would say to the children, this is right. This is wrong. But today, we have diluted all of this, and the title has changed. Some of the content of the course is there, but it would read something like this in the catalog. Are the absolutes still holding? What's that mean? Are there any rights or any wrongs anymore? And that's the way that that course is fast changing. Just as there are many secular colleges and universities, so there are many Christian colleges and universities. And supposedly there is a difference in the emphasis and in some of the curriculum that is offered. It is likewise true in homes. There are secular homes and there are Christian homes. Now, many of these secular homes, my friend, are found right within the church. Simply because we belong to a church does not mean that we have a Christian home. What is a secular home like? A secular home is one that says we can operate pretty much on our own. We really don't need God. It's all right if somebody in our family believes in God. Most of us would say we believe in God. But we don't want to take it too seriously. And if there's somebody in our home who decides that he does not want to believe in God, that's perfectly all right, and no one is to try to convert him. In other words, a secular home is one that can live from Sunday to Saturday night, and the Word of God is never open. Why do I need the Word of God? I've got my own mind, my own intelligence, my own reason. I don't need God to say anything to me. A secular home is one where a husband and a wife can live together for weeks and months and years and never bow and offer God their praise and ask him to come into their life and guide them and direct them. Who in the world would do that? A bunch of religious fanatics, some weaklings. We can take care of ourselves. We don't have to have some mystical conversation with God. That's a secular home. You may belong to the church. You may be here. If that's the way you're operating, you have a secular home. That's what it is. The only way you can describe it. Now then, there is a Christian home. Christian home is different. It has one particular course that has to be offered to every person. And everybody living in that home has got to take it, whether he wants to take it or not. Oh, it's true, someday the kids may grow up and say, I don't want to have anything to do with the church. The old man made me take that course, and I've had it. I say congratulations to that father. That's a cop-out. That person has not reacted against Jesus Christ because of his home. He just doesn't have the guts to stand up and say that he's an unbeliever. And so he blames it onto his poor old father or mother, some of them dead, you know. But in this core curriculum, in this Christian home, there is this course which everybody takes, and it is entitled Introducing Every Member of the Household to the Shepherd. And you've got to take it. Everyone who knows a shepherd intimately is a teacher of that course. And so it could very well be a 30-year-old father who is teaching a 7-year-old child. But on the other hand, it could be a 17-year-old son or daughter who is teaching a 40-year-old father and mother what it really means to live with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of that going on in our community, where children are taking the initiative to show their fathers and mothers what true Christianity really is, and it's a thrill. The core curriculum on how to introducing every member of the household to the shepherd has for its text the Word of God. And one of the basic units in this course is a 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, which Pastor Kuppelman read from this morning. There, the shepherd of that great passage of Scripture is Jesus Christ. And he's drawing some pictures for us. Here is one picture there are a flock of sheep who are living in a sheepfold. There's one door into that sheepfold, and that is supposedly to protect the sheep from the outside enemy. But the shepherd goes on to say, the sheep are always under attack, for the robbers can scale the fence and get into the sheepfold. And when they do, these helpless sheep are without any protection unless they're by the shepherd. There's a second picture that's drawn by our Lord in this text, and that is that when daylight comes, the sheep have got to move out of the sheepfold into the pasture, and there they'll graze. That becomes even more dangerous, because out there in the pasture, away from the walls of the sheepfold, there are the wolves and the bears, and those wild animals can get the lambs and the sheep and destroy them. But there's a third picture, and the third picture is that here stands the shepherd, and the shepherd is saying, come to me and I will protect you. The shepherd's relationship with the sheep is one that is very personal. He knows each one of those sheep by name, and when he speaks, they hear his voice. The message is that even though you may be attacked by the enemy, if you stand with the shepherd, you will be sustained. Now, how do you take that message, friend, and apply it to our day? Certainly, it says some things to us that we have to listen to very realistically. One thing is this: no family or member of the family is spared from Satan's vicious attack. These attacks by Satan are made right within our home. We cannot go home and say, well, now we are free from the tempter. For it is in the home that Satan gets to us and creates within our hearts selfishness, an insensitivity to the needs of others, jealousy, and pretty soon these develop into resentment and bitterness and hatred, and the family is torn apart. And we never move out of the sheepfold. But then we have to get up and we have to move out of the family dwelling. We've got to get out in this big, bad, ugly world. And anybody who does not say that this world is frightening evidently does not know what's going on out there. And as we move out, the danger increases that we can be spiritually destroyed. Some of you have the 5-year-old, the 4-year-old, sitting beside you this morning. That magic age of 5, when the little child runs off to school and he comes home and he uses some words that you've never used in your home, and you begin to realize he's out in the pasture and the influence of this old world is beginning to affect him. And the 5-year-old grows up and pretty soon he's 12 or she's 12 years old. And now he or she is going on to high school. And there, they're going to cry out, junior high school at least, they're going to cry out for new freedom. And somebody is going to say to them, how come your mother and father are so strict to you? Forget about what they have to say. Get rid of those Victorian rules of yours. They don't apply. And the 12-year-old pretty soon becomes the 18-year-old. And the 18-year-old leaves the nest. And now he's really out on his own. He lives in a world that is filled with alcohol and drugs and illegitimate sex. He lives in a world where his Christian faith is called into doubt and every moral absolute is questioned by his peers. This is a world in which the little lambs grow up and move about in the pasture. And that's not an easy world for these little lambs that are growing up. But it isn't an easy world when we become sheep either, my friend. And therefore, the question for every parent here today certainly has to be this: am I preparing my child to live in this world of temptation and danger as they live with me in my home? It has been a rather difficult week. I don't solicit any pity. But there are times when you become emotionally caught up. in all that is going on. And out there in that world, there are a lot of good things, there's no question. But there are a lot of frightening things, friend. I walk by the nursery at the hospital once in a while, and I'll stop and look at those little infants. And I have to ask myself the question that you may think is very pessimistic. I wonder what's going to happen to those children. They're all going home. They have a father and a mother. How are they going to be raised? What are the values that are going to be put into their soul? What will the next years have for them? Now you may ask, why do I ask a question like that? Because on the other side of this, you have the adult world. And it's pretty rough out there. So I'd like to ask you to dream with me for just a few moments, and some of these dreams are not going to be very pleasant. But certainly the church has got to at least confront us with the issue. You have, some of you, younger fathers and mothers, your children in your laps, or sitting beside you, or you put them in the nursery, or if you've grown a little older, you have your grandchildren, and we have some responsibility to them too. May I ask you two or three questions? How will your son or daughter deal with life if he becomes very successful? Or as she becomes successful. How are they going to deal with it? There is a lot of talent among the young people in this congregation. I have every reason to believe that many of them can grow up to be financially very successful, millionaires. If your son or daughter becomes a millionaire, how will they handle it? And I can hear somebody say, man, we've got enough problems without trying to figure that one out. That's a pretty big problem, friend. You know that it will be much more difficult for your son or daughter to handle wealth than it will to handle poverty? Do you know that it takes much spiritual strength to handle wealth without being ruined? Do you understand, friend, that Jesus warned against the misuse of wealth more than anything else? Why? Because if you or I are successful, we soon get this idea, I don't need God. I can go it myself. Look at who I am. Look at my financial statement. And I did it all myself. Who says I need God? What happens if your child becomes successful as far as a social position is concerned, social prestige, politically prestigious? What happens then, I ask you? How will they handle it? Have you considered that question? That's a course that is offered in the world's greatest university, the home. You can't find a course like that at Yale or Oxford or Leipzig. That's for us in the home to burn into that child some great truths. How do you do it? By introducing him to the shepherd. And as he lives intimately with Jesus Christ, he hears the Lord Jesus Christ saying, what does it profit a person if he gains a whole world and he loses his soul? So as the money begins to come in, as the honors begin to come, and Satan says, now look, you have come of age. The man who lives intimately with Jesus Christ turns and says, no, all of this is good. There's nothing wrong with being successful. I pray that all three of my children will be successful. That's not the point. But that person who has become successful will say, this is to be used to the honor and to the glory of God, and not to my own self-destruction. Are you training your children that way, my friend? You should. As we live in this affluent, materialistic society, you have a child sitting near you, or one that you're responsible, at least in part, for. How is that son or daughter going to react if, when he or she gets to be 40 years of age. There is a terrible tragedy in their family. That son or daughter gets married, and you have an elaborate wedding, and you have all kinds of parties. You're so happy with the marriage, and then after a little while, they come home and say, you know, you're going to be grandparents. And then the day comes that the little child is born, and you just are thrilled to death with that little one, and you pick him or her up in your arms and love the child and spoil it with all kinds of gifts. And every grandma and grandpa's got a right to do that. And so you love them. And it isn't long before this little guy or this little gal begins to run off to school. And then he's got to mature, or she's got to mature, and they finally get a little bit more liberty. One day they get into an automobile and innocently just ride down the street, and a tragedy happens, and that little son or daughter is killed. How will your son or daughter react? Will they be prepared to face that tragedy, my friend? Oh, you say, not my son or daughter will have to go through that. Why, the chances are so small. Why bother yourself with any foolishness like that? Happening every day. No, you and I cannot prepare finally for every last detail of a death that's going to take place 20 years from now. Of course not. But I've watched this. I'm not drawing pictures. I'm dealing with realities that have happened right here in this congregation within the last few days. You can't prepare for the last part when it comes to death. But you can prepare your son or daughter for this to know, because you have introduced them to the shepherd, that he's given a promise. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And that's why in that beautiful home with parents whose hearts are broken, I could hear the other night the Christian confession of that father affirmed by the mother. I know that my child lives with God in heaven. That's a personal savior. That's not somebody impersonal out here. That's one you talk to every day. That's one who talks to you in the scriptures. Is that the way you're raising your children, people? That they're prepared for life? Those courses are offered only in the world's greatest university, the home. How will your son or daughter react if someday they have to care for a spouse who has been set aside as a cripple? They marry. They have a good life together. Your son, your daughter, that little one who's sitting right beside you in the pew, he's 6 years old now. He's going to grow up. And at 26, he's married. And at 46, he or she, they're living in a beautiful home. They've got it made. They have a tremendous income, a good profession, whatever it may be. And then one morning, when he's about to get out of bed, he says to his wife, my leg feels stiff. And she said, oh, it must be from mowing the lawn. And he gets up, but the next morning it's more stiff. And finally, he is not able to hardly move it. And he goes to one of the great medical centers of the Midwest. And they say to him at that Midwestern Medical Center, we are sorry to tell you, but you are dying from Lou Gehrig's disease. And it will be a horrible, tough, long, gruesome death. And the world comes to an end almost. The bottom falls out of it. Now, if your daughter is married to that man, how will she react? Will she come home because she is self-centered, concerned only about herself, and say, this is the end of it. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it, but I'm going to get out of it. I refuse to confine myself to a bedroom and take care of an old cripple. I will divorce him in one way or another. Or have you, in an early age, been instrumental in introducing her to the shepherd. And the shepherd is saying to her, come unto me, and I will give you rest. As your day is, so your strength is going to be. Because she lives intimately and personally with Jesus Christ, will she come home and say, Bob has Lou Gehrig's disease. We have some tough days before us, but God will strengthen me. And she stood by his bedside until he breathed his last Sunday. Late yesterday afternoon, I walked through Satori Hospital, and I went into room 317. How many times we have gone through that door? There is a little body that has wasted away to nothing. 38 years old. 3 children. And sitting beside that bed is a husband stroking the arm. And as we sat together and visited, I said to him, there is a time when we ask the Lord for healing, but there is a time when we ask the Lord for release. Shall we pray that your loved one will be released to go home to heaven? And that we did. And I prayed also for that husband, who for 4 years plus has been living, watching that wife die inch by inch by inch. And when I left the room, I put my arms around him and I said, you have been a faithful husband. And he said, it's very little to do for a wife who has been faithful to me for 20 years. Somewhere along the way, that husband had been introduced to Jesus the shepherd. He wasn't out on a town last night. He sat beside his dying wife's bed. And that lesson can be learned only in the world's great university. Mothers, I have not sought you out in this sermon, singled you out. But will you remember this? In the world's greatest university, the Christian mother is a full professor. She is a favorite teacher, the one to whom her children return for a refresher course while she lives, and then quote her by the yard after she dies. And I plead with you, mother, don't let the voices of this day minimize your position of influence as a professor in the world's greatest university. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western home communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western old people's home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's Western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.